Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Fucking disgusting.
It's 34 degrees in central London today.
It's 36 degrees in my car in West London.
There's no... I'm going to put this out there, right? Oh, by the way, it's Below the Belt. It's a boxing podcast in association with Boxing Monthly. Welcome. Yeah. But I'm going to put this out there. Yeah. There's... If you want to live in this... I want to live in this country, yeah, right? Regardless of Brexit, yeah, right? I want to live in this country, yeah, but not if it's going to be anything higher than 24 degrees on two consecutive days. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's reasonable. I can go with that. I can go with that.
It's why I live here. But 24 degrees is a perfectly acceptable temperature, and it shouldn't be anything else.
If it's going to be hot at the weekend.
Well, whatever. It's all disgusting. I'll tell you what was hot. Was Andre Ward. Yeah. So, by the way, if you can hear a slight drone of fan in the background, I'm not...
Fuck off, yeah, it's 35 degrees.
I'm not going to apologise. That's where the heat conversation started, by the way. I lost my way. Andre Ward was hot.
I screamed.
You screamed.
I screamed like a gull.
Yeah. So... Andre Ward got a 8th round stoppage over Kovalev.
To the body. Asterix.
we'll get to that. So it was... I'll give you my part on it and then I'll let you guys talk about it. So basically, I thought that the ending was premature. I thought it was a terrible stoppage in terms of the logistics of that stoppage and how it happened. Mm-hmm. I thought the right winner... probably came out on top, obviously, and I think that was that result was going to happen either way. But it still leaves questions for me personally, and I still don't feel like I've had enough of that fight yet. Which we won't see another one,
no,
will we?
No.
But and I still feel cheated to a sense. But in terms of performance, I thought Ward looked more confident as I would expect after what he got, after the result that he'd got. But he looked calm. He looked in control of everything that he wanted to do. Getting caught, that jab, you know, Kovalev just established that jab relatively early, and it did okay. Mm. And I expected Ward to maybe not panic, but you know, remember what happened last time and be a little bit more jittery. Maybe that's me being naive to generally how good he is, but he wasn't. I was hugely, hugely impressed, but. I will say I am a little bit surprised at the lack of sympathy. Might not be the right word, but the lack of lack of sympathy for how the fight ended for Kovalev.
I don't agree at all. He quit. he quit. He absolutely quit. He was getting a lot of body shots, and after a while, because he didn't want to know, he turned his back on Ward as well. Maybe he could have had a standing 8 count, but I think he wanted a way out. There were body shots at a Kane, and then there was a massive right hand. And I think you could see the fight drain from Kovalev. Maybe the fight could have lasted a little bit longer, but I don't think the winner was ever in doubt.
What my frustration is as Paulie said on the night, what's happened is the fighters haven't been allowed to decide how that fight ends.
Yes.
So Kovalev shouldn't be waiting. If he's felt that there's two genuine low blows, he shouldn't be waiting for Tony Weeks to step in and do something about it. You've got to do what you've got to do, and then, you know, rely on the fact that the ref will then come in and do his job properly. I think they were low blows. I think there's a lot of talk about it on the belt. I thought from the angles that I've, particularly the second one, I thought that was. I don't see how we can argue that that isn't a low blow.
I thought the very last punch was low, definitely low. That was flush on the dick. But the second to last one, you can't really tell.
I disagree.
It's like, because the thing is, he's bent. All I would say in Ward's defence, Kovalev is bent right over below waist height. I shouldn't be bending down below waist height. And it's hard. How is Ward supposed to land a body shot when he's bent over like that? That's illegal.
I'm not blaming Ward in any of this, by the way. He's doing what he's got to do, right? Yeah. But like I said, I think I would like to have seen. You know, he should have been gone in and one of the low blows called, or maybe an eight count, because I wanted to see what then Kovalev's going to do. Okay, you're in trouble now, and that 30 second period beforehand, he was in trouble, and I thought he was going to go. Anyway, but he there was then an opportunity to see what Kovalev was going to do, and we've been robbed of that fact to know can he come back from something like that? Not like in the first fight where it was you know kind of touch it, nip and tuck all the way through. Do you see what I mean? I think that's where a lot of the frustration online came from. Yeah. But there were two very very polarized counts there in terms of absolute right winner, you know, on the belt, fine, and can't believe it, he's been robbed again. Yeah. I mean. That's my part. I'll let you guys go.
What I would say is, he was never going to do a standing eight count. Standing eight counts in pro boxing don't happen. Mm. That's not something that happens. No. It's something that happens in the amateurs. It doesn't happen in pro boxing. It's not part of the rules. If the ropes were holding him up, the only thing that was holding him up, they would count then, but it wouldn't be a standing eight count. So we wouldn't really do that. Somebody online compared it to the first Froch Groves fight. Whereas we wasn't given a like you just said, the fighters weren't allowed to decide it for themselves.
Oh, I see. Right.
Howard Foster jumped in and just ended it too early. And I think the stoppage was absolutely too early. It really was. Because Kovalev, even though he wasn't a defending champion, the first fight was really close. He should have been given the opportunity to go out on his shield. I know it's a fucking cliche and people say all the time, but he should have been given the opportunity to fight until he couldn't fight no more. Kovalev pre-fight, the things he was saying, I want to end his career, I want to retire him, I want to do this and do that, Ward got to him. That first fight got to him. They played him and his whole camp played the victim so much after the first fight that they took that attitude into the second fight. And he was showing out for. And actually, at the start of the fight, Tony Weeks points to the belt line on Kovalev and says, there's good. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the shots where Ward was landing on the belt line, he starts showing out. Kovalev starts bending him, going, oh, he's hitting me low, when he's hitting him on the fucking waistline.
Yeah.
The shorts were sitting up to his navel, which is about standard. So he was hitting him on the navel, basically, and he was showing out and going, oh, he's hitting me low. The ref's like, fuck off, get on with it.
If he really hit him in the dick, he wouldn't be standing.
No,
That's my... If he hit him...
The last one.
If you get hit in the boards, you are rolling in a heap on the floor. You're not standing up and fighting on. And I think the body shots are starting to tell. I think the problem.
You've got protection.
Yeah, but that protection is nothing against the light heavyweight punch in the balls, though.
But to be fair, the last one, he does stay down. When the stoppage happens, he stays on the ground for quite a while. So I do think that, like I said before, I do think the last one was low.
I think what happened, why I said Kovalev quit is that the fight wasn't going his way.
Yep.
And towards the end, he just lost heart. I think, as you said, Ward got into his head massively. Before the fight, they were saying all these like grandiose things, and Ward was just calm the whole time.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's the right winner. I'm not sure where either of them go from here. There's talk of Ward fighting Joshua. That's pie in the sky. Obviously, you got Stevenson in the equation. Maybe Stevenson fights Kovalev. The winner fights Ward again.
Well, Stevenson beat Fonfara.
Yeah.
In what was it, two rounds?
Two rounds.
Yeah. And that was on the 2nd of June, wasn't it? Yeah.
Stevenson's not going to fight Kovalev. That fight's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think there's more chance of seeing Stevenson against Ward, to be honest, than seeing Stevenson. You know, they could have made the Stevenson Kovalev fight main events, pulled out the purse because they didn't want it. Those are the only facts.
Before we get on to that side of thing, I mean, in terms of, not that it really matters, I suppose, but what did you have? How did you see it when the stoppage came?
I thought Kovalev was winning.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I thought he was winning. I thought he used his jab really well. I thought he was using his right hand really well. But even though he was winning the fight, the tide starts to turn around round six and it starts to become Ward's fight. Even if you give round six to Kovalev or round seven to Kovalev because of the jab, whatever, it was becoming Ward's fight. And it was around round six, round seven was when he started showing out and started turning his back. Mm. And you could see, Ward was like, I've got him now. Even if he's losing, he would have stopped him eventually. I think.
I agree.
And that right hand was monstrous. But not even the right hand, the left hook after that.
Yeah,
flush to the ribs. Mm. You see that he stands back, and you just see him. Fuck, that hurt.
On a positive note, because that's the only thing that disappointed me about it is that it's another fight of this latitude. We've had such a great year so far, and whenever we get these types of fights, you know, I just for some reason always seems to be something that leaves some type of taste in the mouth. Yeah. But what I will say on the positive side of this was that what struck me up until the stoppage was, again, how nip and tuck it was in terms of how close these guys are in terms of ability and their individual strengths.
Yep.
But it was far more entertaining this time.
Yeah, it was a quality fight.
Yeah,
it was a quality fight, and you can see that in terms of Kovalev before the first fight, people were talking about it. They called, you know, he's the Crusher, is his nickname, and people were talking about him just like he's just a puncher. But you saw in the Hopkins fight that he's far more than that. And because if he was just a puncher, Hopkins would have worked him out. And he would have probably beat him on a decision. He completely washed Hopkins. Even at 50, he's still a quality operator. You know, they were so nip and tuck, but Ward showed that he'll find a way. He will find a way to win. And that's what makes him an elite fighter.
He's the number special. One pound for pound.
No doubt. There's no doubt.
I said it before the fight, I say it after. He's number one.
Yeah. What? So, in the press conference afterwards... it's too old. What's her name?
Kathy Duval.
Yeah. Talked about putting in a protest first thing Monday morning. I've been off all week food poisoning since. So what have we heard anything since then? Nothing.
She's pretty much acknowledged that it's not gonna happen. Yeah. It's not gonna happen.
Okay, so then what next? So for Ward, you know, they were talking all sorts of things about Ward and I think there's not much really talking about what's next for Ward because I think they'll form an orderly queue and whatever makes most money makes sense. But for Kovalev, it's really interesting now, where does he go from here? So, I mean, what...
Well, yeah, it's interesting. It's like, pre-fight, he spoke a lot about he was going to end Ward's career. Ward's almost ended his career, in a sense, because Ward, you know, there was some unsavoury stuff that he said. There's some unsavoury stuff that's come out about him as well. He's not a huge ticket seller. He's not a massive pay-per-view draw. He doesn't have a belt. He doesn't have a following. What does he do next? It's rebuild time at 34 years of age.
Could he... When you say he's not a pay-per-view, so say he comes over and fights... I mean, we're not awash of, you know, of like...
Bellew?
Yeah. But, I mean, if Kovalev was to come over here and to fight, or whatever it might be, I think there's a big interest in that. So in terms of... that's what I mean. In terms of... It might be a question of finding a market.
Yeah.
So he might have to then go out of his... I say comfort zone, but go to an area where he had really no intention of going to, but would still be able to do, you know, good things.
People...
Just maybe not at the level that, you know, a Ward Kovalev. But then saying that, this was a huge fight. The build-up was non-existent.
It got dwarfed by other news that we'll talk about in a bit. It wasn't a huge... Wasn't a huge fight from that point of view. It was a huge fight among boxing fraternity, but there's no crossover appeal to it.
And that's a shame.
And Ward wasn't massively selling the fight either. Ward's just being himself.
Mm.
And Kovalev was trying to say all these unsavory things. I mean, even in, I think it was a leaked tape of him saying some racial stuff as well.
Yeah.
So is Kovalev trying to play the villain? I don't know what he does next. Coming to the UK, I don't think many people in the UK know him. Golovkin is someone who is known. When people don't watch boxing, I don't think Kovalev has that kind of gravitas myself. At light heavy, you mean what, Booley only? I can't think of anyone else, maybe Yard. But he's not going to fight either of them.
But in terms
Joe Smith down the line Who knows?
Yeah. I'd love that. I would love
that's
that.
A quality, that's a quality. That's a good shout. Yeah. Joe Smith against.
But Joe Smith's fighting soon-ish. So.
He's fighting Sullivan Barrera.
Yeah. So
and that and Andre Ward beat him, and that win has aged very well.
Actually, what I wanted to say was before Ward fought Kovalev, we weren't sure how he was going to get on because he fought Barrera, fought Paul Smith, and then someone else was
Alexander Brand.
Yeah. And we saw those fights. So we thought, what's he going to do? Yeah. You know, is he really going to do it against Kovalev? So you've got to really factor that in. And Ward's beaten the best at 168. Foch beat the best at 175. Maybe he called it a day.
Yeah, he was talking about calling it a day after the first fight. And he's just made $6.5 million out of that fight that's just been, which was why he wasn't pushing it, because he was making $6.5 million anyway. Kovalev's money was linked to pay-per-view. Yeah. He didn't have a set purse, so he's probably going to get about £650. the first fight didn't do great numbers. I'm not sure this one will do great numbers. Hopefully it does. I hope he gets paid well. But I don't know. We'll see. I want the Stevenson fight.
Yeah, I think
most people do.
It's the one that makes most logical sense. Now,
it's for the lineage. It's for all four belts.
Well, I would say, yeah, that's true. But what I would say, for, you know, quickly knocking back to Kovalev, is the position that we are in the UK now with Matchroom and Sky and with BT and Box Nation, I think we are in a position that even if there's an inch that a fighter can be sold, then it will be done here. We'll talk about it in a second. In fact, let's move on to it now, actually. So, anyone else on anything on the Ward Kovalev? Anything else that we think we need to cover on that?
Kovalev quit.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Moving on. So I was just about to talk. Someone who's got maybe a little bit of profile over in the UK is Arf Abraham, right?
Yeah.
So with his reaction, you know, obviously with the Froch fight with the Paul Smith, obviously when he was robbed, in inverted commas. So he's got a little bit of profile, and he's going to be fighting Chris Eubank on, what's the day? 2nd of July, is it?
9th
of July.
Yeah.
Is it the 9th or is it 15th, isn't it?
Oh, 15th, yeah, sorry, at the Wembley Arena. Yeah, yeah. So you've got Chris Eubank 24-1 and Abraham 46-5. And that's what I'm saying is, with the position that we're in the UK now, that I'm confident that that will actually do relatively big numbers because they'll be able to sell off Abraham.
You really far think better. So?
When I say big, I mean, I was going to say big in relative to what he did with Quinlan, for God's sake. But what I mean is, I think we'll see, there'll be a lot more traction to it this time. And I think that's just some of the power that the UK has. So Kovalev, for example, coming over very quickly, I think he's got a little bit, and it could be sold off the back of Ward, off of the Cleverly fight, even Hopkins, and you know, that type of stuff. So there is an element of there. We've got a huge engine over here now in terms of media. Yeah. So I just don't think that should be forgotten.
I'd love to see Kovalev over here. People still want to see him fight. He's still a quality fighter. If he can come back, get a win, he can do what he likes.
So let's talk about, so we've just mentioned Arf Abraham and Chris Eubank Jr. there. Initial quality reaction
fight.
To the fight?
Yeah. Wicked fight. I was like, right, when the ticket's out, fucking going. Like, that's a quality fight. I really like Chris Eubank. I actually really like Arf Abraham. I once famously said, as me and T were leaving a football match, Arf Abraham is shit, I could stop him to the body. obviously not that. Fucking true, but I really like Abraham, and he's really underrated. You know, obviously as he's got older, he doesn't have the reflexes he once had, and he is a bit one-dimensional, he does tuck up, but I think there's a little bit more to him than that. I quite like him, and it's a big step up for Eubank. Is it the best fighter he's fought? Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I'm gonna surprise you a little bit, right?
Yeah.
There is a part of me that thinks he could lose this fight.
Yeah.
Because if Abraham does that thing where the last minute of every round suddenly starts to put it on, the way Eubank goes out, particularly in the first 90 seconds of a round where he wants to be fucking Superman, I think there's a chance that he could find himself in a bit of trouble at some stage, and then it'll be a question of how he reacts to it.
Yeah.
I don't want that. It's only a small part of me that thinks that. I think the fact that it's here... And it's something that they would have talked about. I don't think he's bottles fighting anyone personally. I know the whole Golovkin thing. I don't think the junior actually bottles anything.
No.
But I think there is an element that there is some risk in this.
Yeah, it's Abraham's fought everybody, hasn't he? He's won belts in two divisions. He's never looked particularly bothered by anyone, like hurt badly. You know, he fought Edison Miranda with a broken jaw. He's Team Eubank have looked at the Gilberto Ramirez fight where he lost 12 rounds to nil on all three cards, and they thought, okay, he's ripe now. He's had a couple of wins since then, but it's a good fight. Eubank will be favourite. He's young, he's fresh,
and so
he's at home.
Yeah,
but Abraham's a live dog. He's a live dog in this.
Eubank is Yeah, and this is what this is the type of performance now that we need to see from Eubank, because he, you know, how old, I mean, he's no 22-year-old Eubank, is it? You know, he's going to have to start making a move, especially if, you know, if ITV is going to have a four fight deal initially with ITV. He's got to give them numbers, and he's got to give them you know what they're going to invest back from him.
Well,
so
he's good on the eye to watch. So I think this is the best opponent he could possibly have had, all things considered.
Yeah, I think considering the tournament's going on at the minute, they're just putting together all the pieces of the boxing tournament which George Groves is, you know, signed up for.
Yeah.
A lot of those top super middleweights are going to be signed up. You know, Callum Smith's fighting Anthony Durrell. James DeGale's having surgery, isn't he? So that takes him out.
He's ducked George, basically. Yeah,
yeah, he's ducked George. He doesn't want it. He knows it. Yeah, this is pretty much the best fight that both of them can get, really.
Well, there was a lot of talk about Chris Eubank Jr. and DeGale. And I think Eubank said in an interview that I went up to him at not Brooks Spence. Joshua.
Oh yeah.
Went up to him and said, you know, look, yeah, let's talk about a fight. And it, and his words were, you know, James DeGale started an umdenard and gave every excuse under the sun or reasons under the sun as to why it won't happen yet and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And now he thinks that he'll never fight him now. So, you know, so there is talk about it. But it's nice. That mix is starting to come together now, isn't it? Yeah. So we'll see how he gets on against Arfabian. But I think he'll win, and I think he'll win wide. But I think there is an element of danger if he's not clever about it.
Quality undercard as well,
I haven't seen much undercard.
Selby's defending his title against Jonathan Barrios.
I've seen Barrios.
Martin J. Ward is fighting. He's defending the British title, and he's fighting.
I'm a big fan
of
Martin J. Ward. Yeah,
he's fighting for the Commonwealth title as well.
Yeah,
and there's at least one more decent fight on there.
There'll be a couple of matchroom involvements as well, from what we've heard as well. So
it's looking like a decent
that's
show.
That's why I think there'll be a bit more traction for this ITV. ITV card.
Stick him on Good Morning Britain and have him do a walk on and Emma Dale walk in the walk.
Yeah, exactly.
Spark out Kane and, you know.
Look at you knowing people that are in Emma Dale, for fuck's sake. So that's to ask you, Ben. Other bits of news that we had this week was obviously Carl Frampton's going to make his homecoming on the 29th of July against Andreas Gutierrez. I've not. You'll have to enlighten me with Gutierrez, I've got to be honest. I'm not.
I don't know much about
him. Yeah, decent record, isn't he? Nothing.
Was this just the sake of a homecoming?
I think he's only got the one loss. The one loss. It's a final eliminator for the WBC title. So if Frampton was to win, he'd be fighting Gary Russell Jr.
That is sex.
Yes.
Isn't it?
So, they want him back in America. So I think this is to keep the Irish fans happy.
Is that a 126?
Sorry?
Is that a 126?
It's a featherweight. Staying at featherweight. I think that super featherweight business was just an admin error or something. Or maybe they dabbled with it. But yeah he's going to stay at featherweight. Final eliminator for Gary Russell Jr.'s belt.
God, I love that shit.
I was listening to him on the BBC podcast, and he said they want me back in America ASAP.
Yeah.
So it's like, come over here, satisfy the Irish fans, and then go back to America.
Well, and also a bit of satisfying himself as well. You know, it's something.
He's quite a proud guy, isn't he? And I like his attitude to StubHub and things like that. It was like, if you're buying tickets just to sell them, you're a C-bomb, basically. It was, I love Carl Frampton. He's probably
he's a bit of a throwback, isn't he, in terms of, not so much a throwback, actually, he actually represents everything that I think boxing has over other sports when it comes to the people and to the interaction with fans and to the relationship that you can have with fighters. So without name dropping, you know, he came over and shook mine and Cal's hand at Brooke Spence, which we'll get onto
soft
in a
moment. Hands.
Very soft hands.
Very soft hands.
you lot got weak handshakes.
But you know, you saw him stop for every single person, photographs of the rest of it, and talks the same to a punter the same way as he's talking to you know, any other, you know, to Sean Porter or to Nassim Hamid or whoever it is. You know,
you
so
see him on Twitter.
Genuine.
He doesn't take. You know, he's not like a mass blocker. If someone rips him, he'll just rip him back and then move on. And I like that. It's humility.
There's other fighters who, you know, block a lot of people. There's even an account called Blocked by the Fighter That I'm Out
There. Yeah. Well, we can do it about it. Someone who is alleged to block every now and then, which is completely his own prerogative, is Paul Smith. Paul Smith lost pretty much every round to Tyrone Zeig in Joe again.
He's all right, you know.
Wasn't bad.
He's all right, you know. He's got fast hands, he's nice variety. I thought he was all right.
I actually thought he was quite okay to watch.
Yeah, I quite liked
him. Against a better standard of opponent.
I watched Zug fight once against an Italian guy, and it wasn't very good. So I've marked his card ever since.
Yeah. He, I mean, we don't have to talk about it much, but Paul looked. I mean, none of us. We talked about it before. None of us blame Paul Smith for taking this fight. It's he's been picked. What are you going to say? No thanks. Yeah. You know, after going after a dream to go and win a world title, I have no issue with that. I understand all the issues with why him getting this shot over others, but that's happened in boxing for years. People being picked for world title shots. That's just what happens. But he looked old. He looked out of his depth against someone really that is the best chance that he's ever going to have of a world title. So that's it for Paul now, really, is it?
I'd fucking love to see him right fight Rocky Fielding.
Oh yeah, a domestic level. I think there might be one or two.
That's what he is. He's a good domestic level fighter. He's won the British title a couple of times. If he was to fight Rocky Fielding, he'd win it outright. That's your level, mate.
If he fought Fielding and won, though, would you drop the whole?
I'd be like, fair play. Fair play. He's got the British title outright. How can I hate on that?
Yeah.
How can you hate on that? Yeah. But I'd never drop that. 19 months, not 18. Okay. 19 months he had that belt.
Fair enough. Okay. The
bloke who Billy Joe Saunders was going to fight.
Yeah.
I know you can't say his name.
No, I wasn't. I was just...
Cassidy.
I was just deciding whether we were going to talk about the Freak Show or whether we were going to talk about Billy Joe first. Billy Joe. So his Cassidy has been arrested... CD. Detained for reasons that we're not really going to go into, but that fight is gone.
Yeah.
Oh, so well gone again now for Billy Joe. Where there's another, I feel sorry for him to an extent because it's just been ridiculous amounts not all bad luck, but
I think part of it's bad luck. I think part of it's him. You know, he got himself really out of shape at one point, got up to 200 pounds. Mm. But it's all about David Lemieux against Billy Joe Saunders. I love that.
So do you
fight.
Think we'll end up with something good out of a situation where we've seen Billy Joe fight once in, what is it now, 2 years? Yeah. By the time this fight will have happened.
Yeah.
If it happens.
They're talking about, so obviously we've got Canelo Triple G in September.
Yeah.
On the same night Billy Joe Saunders is going to defend. It's going to be on pay-per-view. Is it Box Nation pay-per-view? I think it's going to be.
I'd have thought so.
I didn't know this.
Yeah,
who's he fighting?
I think
TBA?
I think it's going to be David Lemieux.
Oh.
Because David Lemieux, I think, has been... When David Mu last fought, he won one of those WBO international belts. So he's ranked. I think he's going to be made mandatory.
I tell you what, Canelo Golovkin and Billy Joe Lemieux.
I like that.
I'm not sure if he's ready, but yeah.
Who, Billy Joe Saunders? Yeah. He's world champion. He has to be ready.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what are you going to do? It's
motivate him.
He needs to fight somebody now. He can't keep fighting random Georgians.
Did you see him gate crash the press conference?
Yes, that was
and ask Canelo why. Got rid of the WBC.
Said, you shit yourself.
He said, do you want me to translate? He said, no, I know what shit yourself means. It was funny. Okay, so let's hope that happens because that's a great undercard. That would be chief support.
It'd be in London at the Copper Box.
Oh, I see. Oh, sorry. I thought we were talking on the same card.
They're talking about having like a split site pay-per-view for Box Nation. So it'd be Copper Box, Billy Joe Saunders against David Lemieux with an undercard.
So it's
not
on BT.
I think if you're a subscriber, you get it anyway.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, it will be.
Other than that, it'll be a pay per view for people that don't have BT or Box Nation or whatever.
It's the same thing now. Essentially, Box Nation and BT is the same thing now when it comes to boxing. If you've got Box Nation, you will see it.
Basically. So if you've got Box Nation, you're not paying for it.
I've got
Box Nation, and I can watch.
That's my understanding. My understanding is if you've got Box Nation BT, then you don't have to pay.
And vice versa.
People that just want to watch those fights.
Yeah. I'm out to attend.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So not on the same card. So that would be something separate that would be at the Copper Box.
At the Copper Box.
Yeah.
Bit of Anthony Yard, bit of Daniel Dubois.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's see what happens with that. Okay. Can we get this out of the way? Because you're gonna go on about it. So we've had the announcement of Mayweather and McGregor.
Yeah.
So that is at in Vegas on the, I can't remember the date, 26th of August. And yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we've known this is going to happen for a while. Has anything changed in your mind in terms of your reaction to it? I mean, I'm not going to ask you who wins. But...
We accepted it for like a couple of months. I really didn't want it to happen because everybody knows I'm this huge Floyd fan. But I didn't want him to box again because he's 40 and he's done it. And I just thought, don't fucking bother Floyd. But I've accepted for the last couple of months that he's going to box again, that he's going to box McGregor and it's going to happen. I'm not even bothered. I don't really give a shit, really. Mm. I know as it gets closer, I'll be sat there with my fucking Floyd pom-poms and money team hat on. And I'll be like, yes, smash him to bits. And I'll act like it's the greatest win of all time. I know I will, but at the minute, I just don't care.
Okay, rather than us going, because we have talked about it a bit before, let me ask you some questions about it, but you can both answer, right? Does it harm the sport of boxing, T?
Absolutely not.
No.
Okay, reasons why.
Badu Jack and Nathan Cleary is going to be on an undercard. People that don't watch boxing are going to watch it. Mm-hmm. It is a freak show. People get to watch. People get to learn that boxing and MMA aren't the same thing. Mm-hmm. They're going to learn that boxing is a craft, and they're going to watch the best man in the sport exercise his craft. Now I'm getting a boner. Mm. They're going to, you know, they're going. You're going to see a master at work, even at 40 years old.
Okay. Does it set a precedent for other things like this to happen that dilutes what fights we arguably should be seeing in the future, maybe?
It makes the sport money. Puts McGregor to a wider audience. I don't think Joshua's going to fight Miocic, for example. That's another one that's been talked about. I don't see how it harms it. I think things evolve, things change, and it's unlikely we're going to get a repeat of it at this level, because no other boxer is that big apart from maybe Manny Pacquiao. If Pacquiao was to fight, I don't even know who's the same weight as him. I don't know if Aldo's the same weight as him or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe that could happen, but I don't see it happening over and over again.
Conor McGregor is a massive star. Yes. He is a massive star. Floyd Mayweather is a massive star. It's a one-off. It's not gonna. You're not gonna make Roy Jones against Crow Cop, or I don't know who these fucking people are. I think that's a person.
Yes.
It's a one-off. It's a freak. It's a WWE like kind of event. The dream match. Floyd's gonna wash it, and we'll move on from it.
But you know, boxers have fought MMA as well. Obviously, it's not as big as this. James Toney did it. Yeah. Got done in less than 2 minutes. Ray Mercer has done it as well. So
ready to go.
Okay. Well, I agree. Is it dangerous in terms of for Conor McGregor? Is it dangerous?
No.
No.
If McGregor was if Mayweather was a Golovkin type puncher, perhaps it could be dangerous. But I don't think it is. A lot of people talk about the integrity of the sport and all that bollocks, but
Ricky Hatton's been very vocal about the fact that he feels it's bad for the sport, as has Oscar De La Hoya.
Well, they would say that if they were promoting this fight, they'd be in there all day long. I think tough arms the integrity of the sport is, well, I think Paul Smith getting a title shot harms the sport more than that fight.
Okay.
Yeah, WBA regular titles harm the sport more than that, because they confuse people as to who the world champion is.
Not WBA super titles, though.
No, we know who those are. We'll get those are the real champions. Yeah. But Floyd Mayweather could build an orphanage and Oscar De La Hoya would moan about it. The man's just bitter. I'm not bothered. I don't really care. Okay.
And will you pay for it?
Of course I will, because it's Floyd Mayweather. I'd watch him fight fucking Pat Jennings, you know. I'd watch him fight anyone because he's the fucking best.
I could crush him with one hand on his head.
Yeah.
I'd have to hit him first. I have said I won't pay for it, but if you get Badu, Jack V. Cleverly, and Javonta Davis, and Thea Fain on the card, other good fights, I may well pay for it.
So I'm assuming that price-wise over in the States, it'll be like the normal price. What, it's going to be $60-odd dollars or whatever it is.
Well, Mayweather Pacquiao was like $100. I could see them doing that again.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to do numbers as well. It's going to do big numbers.
And then I'm assuming Sky will have it over here.
Yeah. I'd go for that. Yeah, I think maybe they... Well, but BT have the deal with UFC.
I don't think Hearn even wants it, so...
It'd be interesting to see how they square that, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I think BT...
Matt shouldn't get enough grief as it is sometimes with that type of thing without... From inverted commas, the hardcores. That would be fun to watch himself actually.
Just look at his timeline for a while.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So I'm sure we'll talk about more of that the closer we get to August. Okay. So Cal and I were at Brooke Spence.
You done a pod about that as well, didn't you?
We did a little reaction one on the way back after we'd stayed in the shittest hotel you've ever ever see. I had to have 3 keys to be able to open my door. It was ridiculous. But, it took us 2 hours or 3 hours. We had to stay in the bar afterwards with a couple of friends that we said had their friend of the podcast, Scott, who we met there afterwards and had a few drinks and was full of all of the... of Team Spence were all there and all the rest and everyone there.
In their awesome tracksuits.
To be fair, we only stayed because Uber was about 130 quid to get home. But it was a fantastic night. Really, really good. I had my reservations a little bit about it being in outside stadiums when in that sort of environment. But it was fantastic, wasn't it?
The atmosphere when Kelbrook came out was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah, it was terrific. Let's start with Brooke, because it seems like it's ages away, but it's something that we have to go over. So So I think the headlines from the fight came from the fact that did Brooke quit?
Yeah,
okay,
he did.
And you think everyone seems to quit these days?
Right, so
did,
I see.
Yeah. So did Brooke quit? And and how good it was and is Errol Spence? So from my point of view, we were watching it. We thought it was the same eye had gone for Kel at the time watching it live, and we were imploring with Dominic Ingle to throw in the towel probably from the round before, weren't we? If we're honest. And so were a lot of people around us, and we were actually sat in the media area, weren't we? By luck of where our tickets ended up to be, and there wasn't many other people around us that weren't saying the same thing.
Yeah.
So that was part of it. When I found out that it wasn't the same eye, I don't think he quit. I mean, he did quit, but I think it was quit for extenuating circumstances because he'd had the same injury, if that makes sense.
No, I agree.
He'd been told that he could go blind, and I think that's something that's played on his mind. Now, if you grasp that as quitting, then that's fine. I think there's different levels of quitting from what people like Chris Eubank Jr. and stuff were saying about quitting, and arguably what Tony Bellew was saying straight after, which I watched afterwards, his reaction to it. I felt like Tony Bellew threw Kell Brook under the bus a little bit, I've got to be honest. I don't think it was that level of quitting. I think he's made a decision himself in a very short space of time, and perhaps looking back at it now, might have thought that he might have kept going. Yeah. That's my gut review. I don't think he would have won the fight. I thought Brooke did well in the first opening rounds, and I thought, but I thought Spence took over the fight and looked sexy as fuck, particularly the two rounds before the stoppage, and. He is the real deal. Oh, he is something very special.
His hand speed is exceptional.
Yeah.
His tactical awareness is fantastic. His dedication to body punches is just... He never stopped hitting to the body.
Mm.
He never... Even when he was getting success, he didn't suddenly go headhunting. He was like, body, 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 body. And then round... You see it just start to pay off at round 8, round 9, it starts to pay off. And then round 10, the knockdown in round 10, it's not... a left hook and he drops.
Mm.
He was beaten down, Brooke.
Mm.
He was beaten down to the ground, basically. And then round 11, he probably did quit. I hate using that word, quit. I don't care if he quit. The bloke fucking, like you said, he had the eye injury before.
Mm.
He thought, fuck, I've got the same one again. They told me I could go blind. And I can't imagine it, but I can only think... Having an eye injury must be far scarier than having an Achilles for like David Haye, where David Haye was able to drag his leg around and carry on. Having an eye, thinking fuck, I can't see. One of your senses going, you're like, that's got to be really scary.
Didn't they have to essentially detach his eye to go through and fix his cheek?
Take his eye out.
Look, and it's very easy. Other fighters saying it, I think, holds a little bit extra weight. It's very easy for people like us who have never ever been in that situation, and it's why. Boxers should be revered in the way that
definitely,
they are.
To
go, oh, you know, you've got two rounds to go. Your championship belt's on the line. But he was losing the fight.
Yeah,
it's fair to say. And I mean, I think so.
I had it level, but the dudes from
I had it
5 rounds each. But I went and chatted with the Boxing Monthly guys that were there doing the bits for the website and the magazine and stuff, and they were. One of them only gave Brooke one round. Another one gave him two. One of the other chaps had it fairly even like I did. I thought it was level. I thought Brooke started really well. I thought he started really well, boxed really well early on. I thought Spence really came back into it. But I had it about level, but the fight was... Spence was in the ascendancy, and it was his fight when the stoppage happened, absolutely.
I think Brooke did quit. And is it a bad thing? Does it matter? Well, you got to do what you got to do in the ring. Chris Eubank Jr. explained his comments on IFL TV, and he gave a reasoned argument. It's like among boxers, there's a code. You know, boxers aren't like civilians, as I heard Johnny Nelson say. They're not like the rest of us, and they're very proud people. And for them to quit, it's got to be very extreme. But then when you've got family, kids, you've got the same injury again, then I can understand why he quit. But he did quit.
But it doesn't make it, and you know, when I talk about code, so I've heard that. So I'm, you know, I've been around people that have made, you know, their pro debuts and going in and going to box at York Hall for the first time, and it's something that they think they can try and make, you know, half a career of or whatever, and you know, and they have that mentality, of course, And then sometimes the first time you're in trouble, you kind of find out a bit more about yourself. But it doesn't make it, just because that code exists, and it does exist, but it doesn't make it right 100% of the time. And it doesn't mean that if you don't follow that code all the time, that you are then some type of, you're less of a fighter. I don't buy that.
Well, he had the operation last week, Friday, I think it's June 16th.
Yeah.
Says it was successful, says he'll fight again this year. He's quit two fights in a row. Okay, the tower went in the last fight, but you know, call is better. He quit two fights in a row, and the tower went in the last time. He quit this time. Next time he's in trouble, people are going to think, well,
what's he going to do?
Yeah, and even his trainer going to be like, well, what's he going to do? I mean, obviously, if it's another eye injury, he might suck
but
it
yeah,
off.
But yeah, that's what I mean. Are we looking at an individual case here? Because what are the odds of that same injury happening to the other eye in your consecutive fight? Yeah.
No,
really?
it's a small chance, but people are probably just going to target it now, aren't they?
Well, perhaps, yeah, but like I said, I think they said afterwards that, you know, if his original eye injury, if it had made it any weaker, then that one would have been the one to go, surely.
Yeah.
So I have an element of sympathy for Kell Brook, but like I said, it's a shame that he couldn't do it on a night like that for him, because he had a huge amount of support. The atmosphere was fantastic. Obviously, after what had just happened in Manchester as well, there was a lot of
National pride.
Yeah, and it was, and you could tell that in the air that night. There was an atmosphere to it. Obviously, yeah. Michael Buffer came out and tried to do the minute silence for it, which is you can't do that in a stadium fight. We could barely hear what we were trying to say.
The PA system was really bad.
You know, we were like row 10, let alone back up in the gods. So, but it was a great night. One other person it was a fantastic night for was George Groves.
Yeah.
And performance-wise from George, I thought was excellent. So George won the WBA super title.
The real championship.
Yeah, absolutely. We recognise the WBA we for do. Their super belt, just not anything else. Chudinov put up a really strong fight. Chudinov does not take a step backwards.
He's
at
quality,
all.
Man. He's a good
he
fighter.
He was just walking, and just stood there. Yeah. And for the first three or four rounds...
He was winning
the fight.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I was worried for George. After about four rounds, I was thinking, fuck, man, Chudinov is... You'd thought, like, because he hadn't boxed in like 14 months, so you're thinking, he's going to be rusty, George is going to get that jab. I think they had the same length arms, and Chudinov out-jabbed him for, like, the first four rounds. He just completely won the jab battle, and I was like, fuck, I'm worried for George here now. Mm. Like, but...
I still had faith in the UK judges, I've got to be honest.
Come on, they've given him a nice hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
I was really worried, but then you could see it was, I'd say, around round four. Similar to the Ward fight, even if he didn't win round four, it was becoming Georgie's fight. It was starting to suit him. And then round five, he won clearly, and he buzzed Chudinov towards the end, and then round six happened. He just jumped on him as soon as the round started.
Yeah, I think what I noticed for me, because I watched the Groves to Gale fight back the other day. And obviously, I mean, how many years are we talking now? That's
six, seven
years. Yeah. I mean, the first thing that you notice, the difference between now. So arguably what was a very, very impressive performance from George on the Brook card, compared to that one, is he isn't as quick in terms of to the jab and to his feet. You know, you saw even in the first Froch fight where there's that little moment in the corner where he comes up underneath him, doesn't he, and spins him round.
Yeah.
That's gone, as far as I can see. And his reaction and his faint reaction is nowhere near the level, because Chudinov, as good as he is not anywhere at that Froch's sorts level. Of level. Yeah. I mean, he is tough and he's teak tough, but he just isn't, is he?
Yeah.
But what I was impressed with was that of how much he wanted it. And we always knew that this was a big deal for George, obviously, of what had happened and the whole narrative of, you know, a free failed
last
attempt and all the rest of it.
All that.
But there could have been... I mean, he says in the interview afterwards that there was a point where he thought, oh, God, I felt like I'd met another one like Froch, where he's just, this kid isn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So what am I going to do? But he really dug it out. And the finish was fantastic, and it was ruthless, and it was nasty, which I really, really enjoyed, I didn't expect to see. I thought he'd do it on points. Yeah.
After the Eddie Gutrek fight, you've got this guy like Eddie Gutrek,
which has affected George.
Definitely. He spoke about him pre-fight, he spoke about him after the fight. Yeah. He said, I want to do something for him, I want to try and sort something out for him. You can see it's really, really affected him. But you see him at the start of round six, he lands some massive shots and he takes half a step back. I don't know if it was to go, ref, stop it. But I also think it was like, I don't want to blow up here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take half a step back, couple of breaths, and then just jumped in again and just hit him with some monster shots. But Trudinov, to his credit, took them all. But good stoppage by Steve Gray.
We tried to be professional. And
yeah, we got Coog sat in front of us.
We must say, we had... Coogan was that with us, and we did have the Fight Hype guys as well, who were super lovely, nice. Really, really nice.
Yeah.
And we should apologise to them really, because we went mental when the stoppage came, jumping on them and shit.
Did you see Foster's reaction to it though?
He stood up. That it made me very happy.
Me too.
Not in a fuck you way. I just mean like, do you know what? Really, Foch is the boss. And for him to have that reaction was nice. Yeah. It felt a bit like patting him on the head a bit. But it was still nice.
He's retired, and you know, Froch achieved a lot. He had a really good career. A long time ago, I didn't like him some years ago, but I actually don't mind him now. And he's now you can see Froch isn't a fighter anymore. He's still got a little bit of ego, not as much as what Floyd's got, and that's why Floyd's going to fight again. But Froch, you can see he's content.
And you know that in 10 years' time, when they'll sit down and look at what they did. And what they accomplished, you know, that night at Wembley will be something special.
It's like Morales Barrera. They were punching the shit out of each other in a press conference, and now they have dinner together, wives and all of that, and now they're best mates.
Let's get T's reaction to what was a fantastic performance from George Groves.
It was all right.
Go on, what did you think?
I think he had a lot of composure. Did he get cut in round four?
There was a small cut, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I think there was a worry that I was going to end up getting to him, but he showed a lot of composure. Because the first four rounds, Trudinov was winning, clearly. But I think Groves had a lot of maturity. I mean, the previous two title shots, the previous three, were under Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
And I think he saw a bit of a difference in mentality and everything from him on this occasion. And it felt like destiny. And I think it's good he's done it on his home patch. I can't really fault the performance. When he does fight DeGale, that's obviously going to happen. It's hard to say what will happen because obviously a lot of water's gone under the bridge since their last fight. DeGale's kind of gone to the top of the division. Groves has had his fights with Foch that hasn't gone his way. I don't know. I mean, it's a difficult fight to call.
Who's fought the better opposition?
Oh.
Well, no one DeGale has fought is better than Foch, so.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. It's, yeah.
No, they're even better than Jack. Oh, I mean, I know he's fought Jack, but if you were to take Jack out of it for DeGale, anyone better than Jack?
No. I think...
You'd say Groves, wouldn't you?
Slightly. Because there's not much in it.
There's not because... what's his name? DeGale's fought Lucien Butte.
Yeah.
You know, he's fought Andre Dorrel. Andre Dorrel. Yeah. But you'd say just George because of Froch. Because he's fought Badou Jack. He's fought Glenn Johnson. He's fought Chudinov.
And he's fought in these massive events. Groves would be an O2 fight. I don't know anything bigger than that.
Maybe a Stamford Bridge.
The only way it'd be Stamford Bridge. Small football stadium. Yeah. The only way it could be Stamford Bridge is if it's next summer. But aren't they moving after the next season? The last season?
But I mean, who knows? White Lane would be offering itself to events. Yeah, those days. Yeah. You know, no idea.
Steady on.
That would be watching James Agnew get beat at White Hart Lane would fuck me.
It's basically a neutral venue, ain't it?
Yeah, but fighting a Chelsea fan, and after the Chelsea fan that. Anyway, we know it's all about football at this point. True. I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So, two things that we need to mention about Groves of what's gone on after that is that, well, he broke his jaw.
He did.
Which there was rumours when we were in the bar afterwards of people saying, you know, he's actually, it's quite bad.
Yeah.
And so he's had an operation on that. So that's going to obviously put him out for a little bit.
Yeah.
And DeGale's obviously had his shoulder surgery, isn't it? Yeah. But we have been told that Groves will be in this super middleweight tournament or this Ali Trophy
World Series boxing
tournament. Which is great news.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't think it's a bad one because, you know, I know it's a bit silly, but I saw him on Instagram and he was having a barbecue. He wasn't drinking, you know, smoothies or anything. Yeah. So I don't think it was a bad injury. So, yeah, it looks like he's going to be able to fight in the tournament. Well, he's entered the tournament and he could fight Tyrone Zeig and, you know, get rid of the regular title because he called him out straight after the fight. So maybe they'll plump both of them in a tournament. That tournament's looking good. Cruiserweight especially is looking really good.
Well, let's talk about it because... Actually, all right. Anything else we need to cover on the card? I mean, we saw Lawrence Okoli did his third round one stoppage on the trot. Looked impressive.
Dave Allen, you know, was unfortunate, but he lost.
Dave Allen lost, and he took a and was widely, oh, not wide, but con- comprehensively put down by Eddie Hearn afterwards, saying, look, this was his chance, he's blown it. Yeah. You know, I'll be there helping, but he's got to start helping him himself. It's all very well, you know, where people think he's very funny and all the rest of it, but you know, if I'm giving him opportunities, he's got to start working for him. If you lose off the back of, you know, you've trained hard for 12 weeks or whatever, and then but it's not. I mean, he was out. I think there was rumours of him. He was out taking pictures with fans for you know, in the morning of the fight, walking around Sheffield. You know,
oh, man.
So it'd be interesting. That. He did get a fantastic reaction, which was nice, I guess. So like I said, we saw Lawrence Okobie, we saw Anthony Fowler as well in a relatively...
His debut, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He hit the guy when, on the ground, didn't he? He hit the guy when he was on the
ground.
Yeah,
there was a bit of controversy about
I
that.
I think he's boxing in soon, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's another one under Dave Caldwell who looks like he's going to get better. And yeah, I mean, that's about it, really. Nothing else of a massive note that we need to talk about. Okay, so let's talk about this series then. So we've got Cruiserweight. Have we got the names that have been decided? So we've got
Breeders.
Yep.
Yep.
We've got Vladarchik. Fuck. What's the other guy's name?
Tyron.
Who's the one that beat Marco Huck?
Breeders. I said him.
Oh, who's it?
So we've got who's Tyron Dordekos. Yeah.
Gassiev.
That's it.
Gassiev. So we've got Tyron. Tyron. Yunior Dordekos. Yeah. Gassiev. Usyk.
Yep. And Vladarchik. Not the Usyk, no. It doesn't matter anyway. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't got it in hand. I was just going off the ring-rising reference. But so Cruiserweight's looking good, what we've seen. So we've got
most of the belts. I think that's the important thing. And then super middleweight, they've got, you know, George.
Is it Ramirez? Have they got him?
Gilbert Ramirez? No, they haven't got him yet. No.
So there's only one fighter got at 168 then.
Yeah, they haven't announced many. They've only announced
so in George. Terms of... In terms of how it's going to work, so it's the two weights, yeah, because it was only ever going to be two weights.
Yep.
They did mention it might have been three, wasn't it, to start with, but it's only going to be two.
It's only going to be two
now. Okay, I'm going to quickly bring this up because I think it's important that we know exactly who's in it. But in terms of tournament stuff, this is something that we want to see. I agree.
Yeah, you want to get all the
annual thing, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe.
Or biannually, maybe.
Yeah, every couple of years, get all the champions together. You know, as many of them can, throw a load of money at
it's
it.
It's difficult because the tournament takes about 3 years, surely.
I think, no, I don't think, I think it's going to go into 2018, and that's about it, really. End of 2018. By the time the tournament finishes, I think it's going to finish end of 2018.
Yeah.
So, no, I think it's like quarterfinal, semifinal, final kind of thing. It's not like a round robin where point system like it, the Super Six was. It's a straight knockout, and the seeded fighters, your George Groves, get to pick who they fight.
Yes, okay, so that was my next point. That's different, isn't it?
That is different.
So what do we think about that?
I think Groves is going to fight Zeke, I think, and then whoever else they get, they're not going to get James DeGale. Then maybe they'll go for Gilberto Ramirez, it makes sense if they can get him as well. WBC champion, maybe they'll try and get the winner of Smith Durrell, but I don't think so. I think that's going to be harder to fill up the super middleweight division than the
true. Yeah, so from what I can see, the only confirmed at the minute is George, and obviously and Z will be in it as well, wasn't it? Obviously,
because he's with Sauerland, and Sauerland seems to have quite an investment in this.
Yeah, and so we've got Gassiev, Bradis, and Christoph. I can't pronounce that.
Vladaki. He had the WBC title for years.
Yes. So, they're the only ones that we've got confirmed at the minute. And I'm just seeing if there's anything else. But no, so that's going for... No, there isn't. It's still not. It's still undeferred. There's another announcement next week, apparently. So so we'll hopefully see some more about that. Do we know about, in terms of where that's going to be shown and what we're going to get from that? I'm assuming Sky, then, if it's going to be with mainly Sauerland.
Yeah, you can see that, yeah. Although a lot of the... I don't know. Yeah, it'll probably be Sky. It'll probably mostly be in Germany.
Yeah.
I imagine. Because most of the cruiserweights are based in Germany. Anyway.
Germany, I've seen a lot of people... a lot of my friends that have gone out to Germany for fights say it's one of the best places they've ever gone to watch boxing.
It looks so quiet, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. But he said that it's... If you get to the right fight, I think also some of the guys on the Asylum podcast as well, I've talked about going out to Germany like for hay and things like that, and it's been really good. So that might be something I'd like to do. I'd go watch Groves out in Germany. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I'm up for that.
Take a box. Oh, I thought you meant like get a hospitality box.
No, tick a box.
Look, he's gone one VIP event and now he wants hospitality boxes.
Get a box. Yeah, no, tick a box. It's like doing anal. Tick the box.
Oh, for God's sake.
Okay, cool. So in terms of this, I mean, the season's pretty much come to an end now. I mean, we've got this summertime. brawl. There seems to be
a little bit of a break. Yeah, they're having obviously got Frank Buglioni headline the O2, yep. which is brave. But you know, Buglioni's—they probably won't do the upper tier. They'll probably just do the lower tier.
Yeah.
But you know, they'll stick all the.
This was the one that Dillian White was meant to be headlining on. Yeah.
Yeah. Buglioni's a bigger ticket seller than Dillian White, and so yeah, they just thought let's have it, British title, defend it, and loaded up with all the youngsters kind of thing. Coley's going to box on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, loaded up with all the youngsters and away we go.
Yeah, and then that'd be pretty much it until...
There's a Next Gen show on...
Next Gen's up in Glasgow Newcastle. Yeah.
This weekend, I think it is.
Yeah, I like the idea of the Next Gen.
I like it.
Part of it is obviously because Matchroom have so many fighters and they've got to get them out. Yeah. I get that. It's a product of necessity almost. Yeah. But I like the idea. It's something that adds an extra part of the value of what you pay for Sky, yeah. I guess, for watching boxing.
I think they should use it. I was talking to somebody about this, and I think in WWE, they had this thing called NXT, and they have all the younger guys on it. And it could be like that. It could be young boxers, even young pundits and young presenters, and try out things different on Sky. Don't just have, you know, Glenn McCrory every time. Get some of the younger guys in and let them cut their teeth and do things a bit differently and try things out with their broadcasting as much as the fighting as well.
Yeah.
You know?
So with the Next Gen show, I think it's something that is... That's going to be interesting to watch. I'm just trying to see who's on there now. So I'm assuming the likes of Ted Cheeseman. Yeah.
I think there's some women in there. There's awesome.
Jonas, oh, yeah, because obviously Joe Gallagher is training...
Jonas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got Josh Kelly, who was very impressive at the UFI card that I saw him at. He was very good. Anthony Fowler's in there. It's not known who's known. So Natasha Jonas, obviously, is fighting a lady called Monika Antonic in four rounds super featherweight. Marcus Morrison's going to be on the card again. He's always good value. Stuart Hall against...
he's bouncing back.
So that's weird. Bradley Saunders, who I thought was done now.
Yeah. He's really coming back. He did his hands, he kept doing his hands, didn't he?
And I thought Matchroom had dropped him, I must admit. Yeah. I don't know whether I read that wrong or something, but...
If he gets through to five out hurting that, breaking one of his hands, it'll be a miracle.
Well, that's a sixth round. That's at super lightweight, but yeah. That's just a sixth rounder. And then any others. Jordan King. And that's really about it, really. Yeah. No Ted Cheeseman. Blimey, that's a shock.
No wowzers.
So we've got that, and then the season we'll finish. But it's been a great year so far.
Yeah.
And hopefully we've got a few more towards the end of the year then as well with these other big guys.
Yeah.
Anything else that we need to cover? Oh, Fantasy League.
We've got a Fantasy League and a couple of questions.
Oh, okay. So let's do some questions first, yeah. Okay. I don't want to talk about Fantasy League if we can help it.
just did a bottom one.
Claudio over here.
We had a question from @DavidTarbert. Is it likely that world title holders enter the World Boxing Series? I think we've talked
kind
about
of
that.
Already, yeah.
Okay, but thanks for your question, mate. @ShawneeZ5, will BG / Triple G doubleheader still be the same advertised price after Billy Joe Saunders' fight is postponed? We've kind of talked about
he's
it.
He's being sarcastic. Yeah. Hence the lol.
I got that.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And
at BenSalvy23, why isn't Andre Ward appreciated as other American great, you put here?
Sorry.
As an American
I
great.
I was rushing. I had to quickly sack someone and then quickly dash, quickly type
well,
this
gonna, up you, if you're not going to be able to get basic grammar right, I should sack you, really.
Yeah. I like that question from Ben. Go I on. Like that.
All right, so rather than saying... Why is it? What in your mind stops him from being considered as, you know, as a Mayweather or a whatever? Is it a controversy?
He's not with Top Rank or Golden Boy. There's not many people who are not on those two, apart from Mayweather.
But what difference? So for the people that are not massively okay with that, what difference will that make? Is that in terms of exposure?
You've got the PR machine. Yeah. I mean, Pacquiao could, he could do something terrible and he'll still be looked upon as, you know, the face of boxing. I think with Ward's promotional issues, Ward controls his career. He tends to say the right things, you know. He's I think that probably doesn't help, and his style as well. When he beat Kessler, it was similar to how he beat Kovalev in the sense that, you know, there were heads going in and all the rest of it. So maybe his style isn't that fight friendly, but I think I think it's quite deep. Him not getting the love that he deserves.
Kessler's on the comeback, isn't he? By the way.
Yes, yes.
Maybe they'll stick him in the tournament.
Yeah, they will, won't they? Sorry,
they'll
go
stick
on.
Him in the tournament.
So for Ward, anything else? Is it controversy? Is it the fact that he is now, you know, son of God and all this? You know, there's no walking out of, you know, some club in the middle of LA at 3 in the morning after smacking someone up.
I think it's a lot of things. I think T nailed a lot of it. I think it's more of a US media thing here. Boxing News, they did an editorial on the Kovalev, after the first Kovalev Ward fight, and they basically said... there was people in the media section that were cheering for Kovalev and that were screaming about, these are media. I know that was us at the Groves fight, but we weren't credentialed. We were fans. Yeah. Whereas these...
We were paying. Telling people we were from below the belt with no media accreditation.
And you know, slinging press people around after Groves. But anyway, you know, these people are credentialed. They're there to be media. And yet they were there screaming and shouting and
so
cheering.
So why though? Why?
In America, and I don't think it's with much of us, I think the media there, T got it right, I think the establishment is important. If you're with Top Rank, if you're with Main Events, if you're with HBO, I think you get a preferential treatment over there. They're the establishment. They're the ones that have been doing it forever. Whereas Al Heyman, people that are with Al Heyman or with Rockefeller, who, who Andre Ward's with, they're seen as the new ones. It's like, they're new money. The Americans don't like new money. They like establishment. They like the older. So I think because he's with that, I think his style is important. He's not a puncher. Punchers always get better treatment. Even over here, Fury and Joshua is a prime example. Fury's a bit of a knobhead, and he says some, you know, strange things, but people like Joshua because he's exciting. Same with Fury, isn't particularly exciting. It's the same with Ward. People don't like Ward because he's not a puncher. He's not gonna go life and death with somebody. He's a little bit dirty, he's tactical. Look at this way.
Lomachenko has had 10 fights, lost one. And look at the difference between how he's perceived in the media to Andre Ward.
People, and the fact that he's undefeated, that loss helps Lomachenko.
You've talked about in terms of that he doesn't get the... Are you saying he essentially doesn't get the same push?
I don't think he gets treated the same.
Right, okay. So, I mean, I was going to compare... you look at Terry Flanagan, for example, you know, who... You know, has done everything that Anthony Crawler's done in, for example, in terms of that. But in terms of the type of situation they have around, I know it's very different, but I'm just trying to use that as something that maybe people that are more of a with UK boxing as a whole can relate to.
Yeah.
Is it just a question of you're in this platform, you're in that platform, and that's just the way the cookie crumbles? Or is there other something a bit more sinister to it?
I think it's a little sinister. So it's a bit like Rupert Murdoch owning a lot of the media in the UK. And the parties that most of the main media defend, you know, is one party. And in boxing, I think to an extent, the fact that a lot of these people control the press to a degree, I think Ward doesn't get the credit he deserves.
No, and
I think it's shown itself in the Kovalev fights, both of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Kovalev. I think T's exactly right. It's similar to the Mayweather. I think the fact that he doesn't always give the guys the interviews when they want the interviews. I think American press guys, they judge people based on who gives them their quotes.
I have heard that. I think I heard on Gareth A. Davis's podcast of a journalist talking about that as to something that had upset him a little bit with Ward, which is, maybe you're right. If Ward was over here, he would. If Ward had, you know, like Linares, for example, who's fought a couple over here, is now starting to become loved by the British fight fans, Ward would be adored over here.
Yeah, I really think he would. And he is. I think, you know, like.
But
I
said, even on a greater, maybe even a casual basis.
Yeah, I think he would because he's a winner. And he's. I love the way he talks. I fucking love listening to him do interviews and stuff. Like, he's so fucking smart. I love watching him and listening to him. I think Ward's great.
Okay.
Fantasy League.
Oh, let's just get it on with.
Congrats, Dino. Well done, son.
So Dean won.
I was fucking so close. So close. I was like 2 points behind him in the end.
To be fair, I didn't really take it seriously this year. Because
you missed quite a few fights.
I missed a few, because, you know, it's almost cooler to win it once and then just... I'm going to be like Ward now. I've done it all. I was the first. I broke ground. Yeah. And now I don't need it to do it again. Yeah. I'll just walk off into sunset.
Alex is
now
like Randolph Turpin.
I don't know.
Do a Wikipedia on him and you'll see.
Yeah.
Okay.
You had your one night of glory and never again.
That's enough, though. People that go searching for multiple nights of glories are just fucking weird, man. So congratulations, Dean. Do we know who finished bottom out of all of us lot? Flav, I'm assuming.
Flav.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to start texting him and say, who are you picking, Flav? Come on, fuck's sake, and start doing
it. But even if he had picked them all, are we quite confident he still would have finished last?
Yeah, because he picks silly things like KO1 for the huge underdog. He'll just do whatever.
We'll have him back on soon.
I'm just happy I finished above league, so that was all I wanted. Last day, just got clear of him.
Okay, fair enough. This little rivalry between you and Chris is fun, and we will make sure that it is pumped and primed, ready for Golovkin, Canelo.
Yeah. So when does the new season start then? Of the Fantasy League?
I'm thinking, off the top of my head, maybe the September 9th card with Chocolatito against the guy that he lost to last time,
Crawford's on that.
We'll do a triple. We'll do a triple for the first.
So you're not going to do Stuart Hall on the next gen? Then.
You're not going to do Mayweather and McGregor?
No.
But we'll get Chris before Golovkin and Canelo. We'll get that because I think that'll be fun to wind you two up. That's going to be good. So thank you everyone for downloading. So remember, you can follow us on Twitter at @BelowTheBelt_. Give us reviews on iTunes. That would be very nice. That would help. That would help push it up a little bit. We have these little spikes after we do a couple episodes on the trot and get us higher up the chart. But that would be lovely. And on Facebook.com/B2B Pod. That's where you'll be able to see all the news about the new fantasy league you want to get involved next year. The more people, the better.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you next time. So hopefully we'll do one closer to in the next couple of weeks. We might have some other stuff coming up for you. Yeah. So we'll keep that under our hat for now, but we'll hopefully see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.